Great to be back with you in East London. To be able to speak to you is quite a while. I can't remember the last time I was here to speak. The last time I came, you were in, I think, was it the Wanstead School? I was there. I think we were doing a series on the book of Peter. That was what we were doing. So it's great to be back with you, to see the many faces here, and to say thank you to many of you who were able to support my daughter and Christian when they got married. I didn't know it was going to come so soon. I still feel a great sense of loss in my heart, but we've gained a son, a very, very wonderful young man in Christian. So my heart goes out, you know, their heartbeats, and we've seen them kind of 5 times, you know, she's still in contact, you know, definitely move with tears, but it's all good, you know, you've got to give them their space, but I do want to say a big thank you. But it's also great to see Michael and Jola here today, married, to be part of your wedding, newlyweds. I remember when we were studying with Michael, Grange University, to really see to see how God has blessed you, and to see the impact you've had on your family, and not only on your family, but for many, many people who have come to know God in different regions of the church. And kudos to you. Do you know what I'm saying? It was great to see you dance. And the comment you made about Jola's hair, that you like her hair natural, took me aback, but that's okay. That was just during the wedding right there. But it's great to be here. Fantastic. Fantastic. Thanks to all of you. Mike is not here, but Julie's here. It's great to see that. You know, when we had the last church-wide service, when Corey was preaching, Corey says, you know, he's from the south side. Is anybody here from the south side? South side raised their hand. You understand? Anybody here from the northwest? Yeah. Anybody here from the west? Yeah. And it so happened that when they said anybody from the east, Alex did not raise up his hand. So it happened when they said southeast, Alex raised up his hand. And there was Julie there, and Abisola was right behind him saying, put the hand down, put the hand. But amen, that's okay. I got to tell you, brothers and sisters, there are no borders in heaven. There's no East region. We're all going to be changed in heaven, amen? But we love each other, irregardless of what region we're in. So, great to be here. Let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Our God, our Father, thank you so much for the worship service we've had today. Such moving and stirring songs. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And Father, just the songs, Father, call us and reminds us of your mightiness and what you've done for us. I pray you continue to meet us at our point of need, that you help us to see you every single day, that you become bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in our minds, and that you will become our anchor, that we will hold on to you. Thank you so much for the journey that we're on. We've fallen down, we've been raised up again, but Father, we know that you are a God that loves us so deeply, willing to lavish your love upon us in increasing measure. I do pray today that all of us feel the love of God. And no matter where we're at today, to know, Father, the future is bright as your children. Help us to continue to have an eternal perspective about our home in heaven. Father, we love you. I pray that you speak through me today. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's turn the Bibles to John 11. John chapter 11. John 11. Thank you. John chapter 11. Now, I heard that in the East here, you preach messages for half an hour. Yes. Isn't that right? Yes. Okay, I heard a loud yes over there. When Mike called me on the phone, he says, brother, you got half an hour. And in my heart, I says, I don't preach for half an hour. But that's okay today. Do you know what I'm saying? We're going to preach the word. That's okay. There is grace in the kingdom of God. Amen. John. You know, John 11, you know, brothers from St. Louis, you know, when you get back, please say hi to Terry Carson. When St. Louis, you know, great brother was in India, just say hi to him. But welcome here today. You know, what is the context here? You know, today, my message is just about the raising of Lazarus. And I do pray that for all of us here today, as we think about the raising of Lazarus, what comes to mind, there is no hopeless situation in God's kingdom. No situation is hopeless. It might be asleep, but only God can resurrect the dead. Amen, church? So we see right here, let me give you some context, okay? Jesus is away across the Jordan. We all know where the Jordan is, okay? All right, not in East London, neither in South London. And word is sent to Mary and Martha. The one you love, your brother, is seriously sick. And right here is the settling of the final miracle of Jesus in the book of John. Final miracle. He has been building up a crescendo. He has healed the sick. He has turned water into wine. He's made the lame walk. He's fed the 5,000. Healing a blind man. He's done all of his stuff. And now raising someone from the dead. And yet, this is another level. Let me tell you, sometimes you go on TV and you see, I don't know whether you've ever seen the movie Leap of Faith with Steve Martin. And people are coming there. Let me tell you something. I have never seen it on TV where dead bodies are brought forward and raised to life. Never seen it. Well, man, that's the thing about Jesus. There's always an outcome with Jesus. He builds the tension. Could you imagine Jesus building the tension and he tells Lazarus, he says, come out, and then Lazarus doesn't come out. Let's just leave that for now. But nowhere in the Bible. That would get your attention. It would get your attention. But you know, on hearing this, Jesus does something unexpected. Look at John 11. John 11. Let's just look at verse 3 and 4. Just giving some context and background to this. Are we all there? Look at verse 3. Look at what he says. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Wow. You see what Jesus does right here? You know, Jesus does something incredible right here. His friend is sick. Then he mentions verse 3 to somehow explain verse 4. God always gets the glory, not us. God always gets the glory. Do you understand? And then, you know, when Lazarus dies, he makes the journey back. You know, one thing you see, that we see here in John 11, is the whole idea is that something incredible is about to happen. He's about to do something that has never been heard of in the scriptures, apart from his own resurrection, which was 3 days. Here is a body that has been in the tomb for 4 days, reeking, smelling. He's about to do something different. You know, church, you know one thing I pray about every day? I pray for miracles. As a church, you know, sometimes we go by our secular thinking, intellectual thinking. We've got to pray for miracles as a church because our God is a miracle-working God. We've got to pray for within the four corners. We've got to pray for miracles that, man, God, you can do incredible things in my life, in my career, in my children, in my marriage. I pray for miracles. I pray for miracles. From the day our kids were born, we pray that they will marry. My daughter will marry a great Christian man. My son will marry a great Christian woman. We pray those miracles. But I didn't know the miracle was going to come so quickly when Christian came to our house and asked about my daughter's hand in prayer. I kind of think, are you ready for that yet? Taking my daughter away. Made me cry, but I had to hold it back. Well, I love Christian. Should we focus on the Bible? John 11, verse 17. Let's stick to the scriptures. That's the context. Let's read from verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. And many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. I love the confidence there in the voice. Your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said, hold it right here. Let me tell you, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? We normally use this scripture at funerals of faithful ones. Isn't that right? Because this is just a passage we're on. It's not the finality. We go to sleep, but one day, hey, we're going to be with Jesus. Yes, Lord, she told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. After she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, notice how quickly she got up and went out. They followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell on his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's with Jesus having an attitude. Sometimes we can be around Jesus. And it's okay. Because, you know, our relationship with God needs to be played out into the open. Honestly, in our relationship with God. I like that. Okay, Lord, if you have been here. But she shares her heart. And sometimes we've got to be real with God. God, this is how I'm feeling. And it's okay. But sometimes when people are in that place, you point them back to God. Oh, you know, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. They replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he, who opened the eyes of the blind man, have kept this man from dying? Come on, guys. Can you just please? Let's just stop talking. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord said, Martha, the sister of the dead man, practical Martha always. By the time there is a bad odor, for he has been there. By this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Oh, I like that prayer. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. What an amazing miracle. I call this my top miracle in the Bible, in the times of Jesus. You know, point number one, God is always pushing the envelope or limits of our faith. God is always pushing the envelope or limits of our faith. You know, during World War II, pushing the envelope was kind of a word used by World War II pilots. You know, these guys were in their aeroplanes, you understand, these MiG fighter jets. And these test pilots, okay, had these high performance aircrafts. And you would watch a graph. You know, many of us who do our mathematics, and the graph is there, X, Y. Andy, sorry about that. I forgot my math, so next time we'll have you put the graph up there. Do you understand? But you see, rising the slope. So you see the slope right there. Rising slope, then drastically falling off when the pilot would lose control. Many of you have seen probably the movie Top Gun. Safety was being called inside the envelope. Pushing the envelope is when everything is out of chaos. Where the pilot tries to exceed the known capabilities of an aircraft. Here Jesus is going to push the envelope on what everyone thinks. He's going to do something that will blow their minds. He's going to blow their limits because he's the Son of God. And brothers and sisters, Jesus is still the same today, yesterday, and forever. He has not changed. So what is your view of it? I'm talking about the power that Jesus, because sometimes we can focus so much. Yeah, the church is great and I love the church. But can we please focus on the power of God and what he can do? And not forget that. I'm reminded of myself every single morning. You know, she goes to greet Jesus. The conversation in verse 21 and 32. If you had been here, Jesus was real and personal to this relationship. They had real faith in him to change lives, to heal and to prevent death. But you know what happens? Something happens and then they start to doubt. But they were around Jesus. These words reveal their deep faith in Jesus to prevent death. So they spoke from regret because it was too late. Brothers and sisters, this morning, are you speaking from regret about your Christian life? Do you have any regrets? John Louis asked me, when John Louis came many years ago, you know, I was a pre-med in America. I was going to become a doctor. Gave that all up. Family were not happy sending your money to America. I sent my son to America to become a doctor. Now he's coming back being a minister. How are you going to feed the family? You know, I counted the costs. I laid it all on the line and I praise God for the struggles and everything. And John Louis said, brother, do you have any regrets? I said, no. And I told him, I'll do it again. I've seen the blessing. I've seen the rewards. who am I to put my... I'm going to heaven. Maybe if I had become a doctor, maybe I wouldn't even have known God. God knew. And he knows your situation. And we've just got to surrender. No regrets. But now it's a hopeless situation. They had Jesus with them, but they did not have faith for him to raise him from the dead. So there is no expectation and no hope. Brothers and sisters, you know, what Jesus does here is push the envelope of what people expect. You know, how is your faith? Do you have faith to a limit this morning? Is this so far, how far your faith is going to go? You know, I put here, Mark 5 verse 35. You know, in Mark 5, you see the raising of Jairus' daughter. You know, people are weeping and wailing, okay, your daughter is sick. By the time they got to the door, your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher? Is that where you're at this morning? I want to give you hope. Bother the teacher. Knock down his doors. Bother him. Get in there. Bother him for the situations. You know, faith to a limit. One thing I just want to share personally from my own life. One thing I've really been praying for is in the South, I go there and I touch people in the fellowship and I said, I'm praying for your parents. I don't know them by name. Some of them I know by name. I said, I want them to become Christians. I said, I'm in the business. I'm sharing my faith with everybody, studying the Bible, baptizing. I got to save some of my family members. And I know sometimes it's hard. You know, my mom, 1987, came to visit me here in London. And she was living, my sister was in East London in Tilbury. I remember those days. And I sat down with my mom. There was no church in Lagos. Churches were there, traditional churches. I sat down with my mom. I did the word and discipleship study. And I handed it over to Jazz and, what's her name? Ado, in the Southside region. Jane Ado, Kiss Kingdom. There was no church. But my faith was so high that you're going to become, I don't care whether there's any church there, you're going to become a Christian. Now, my faith could have been limited by saying there's no church in Lagos, Nigeria. Brothers and sisters, you live in the UK. Many of you have parents who live in the UK. And the first thing language when I go through the fellowship is, oh, there's no church around them. Go in there, help them out, let God do the rest. You do what you need to do. Let God figure out the rest. Because sometimes we're so much about logistics and walking by sight and ticking the box. He's a miracle working God. Come on. Get out there. There might be wells in the village. It doesn't matter. God will work it out. If they're in Wales, then you get five people in your fellowship to say, every month we're going to have a rotation. They get fired up. Before you know it, there's a mission team there. What's your faith this morning? Where is your faith? Let God do his work. You know, I appreciate, you know, Julie. I'm sitting down here, and I look at Julie D'Souza, formerly English, and I look at Alex. And I respect your faith in terms of you persevered. You persevered. No. I respect that. For me, that is gold quality. When we can hang in there with our parents, warts and all, and we bring them to the Lord. Now, for some of us, we've had parents who have been in and out. Are you praying for them, or have you given up hope? Where's your faith? No, you got to. My mom is now 76. Had me when I was 20. She's got ill health. But you know the thing that comforts me? She's got a very good insurance policy. Spiritual insurance policy. I just love that. But where's your faith this morning? It might not be just for your mom. It might be for a spouse. It might be for a relative. Can we please raise our faith in God that he can do the impossible? Maybe you're studying about with a friend right now. Some of us are lacking faith. When I look at the church, one thing I pray for is that every disciple will be able to study about with everybody. A disciple is a disciple maker. But sometimes in the church, you know, Daniel, thanks for your communion. I appreciate your heart and the younger generation. All of us need to be doing that, not just the staff. I don't like the word staff because it puts you on a pedestal as if I don't have special powers. I just decided to serve God full time. I don't have any special powers. But our God is a great God. The desire for the church is to be motivated by the cross. You understand? 2 Corinthians 5:14. Christ's love compels us that all of us have the faith. I hear people, well, I'm kind of insecure. You've been in the church for 12 years. I'm kind of insecure. Where's your faith? 1 year, 2 years, where is your faith? God can work in your life. And you've got to focus on God. Hey, you know, Daniel, I've got insecurities too. When I was coming in here today, I lost my cufflinks. You understand? So I'm coming in here. I'm thinking, man, this is not going to be a good day. You lost your confidence on the chair. Man, you're going to come in here. People are going to look at you, look at the shirts. You understand what I'm saying? Wow, look at him. Elder evangelist can't even do his confidence. I'm kind of feeling insecure about myself. Look at the dressing. What are they doing? Daniel, thank you. We're all human. The things you feel it the same. Well, we put on a, sometimes we put on a mask and a facade, as if everything's okay. We feel those things. So thank you so much. Let's just get real. Isn't that right? We feel those things. I know some of you are thinking, I don't feel that way. Liar. Okay. It might be your career. Are you stuck spiritually? You know, what areas in our lives do we need to reconsider and ask, are we limiting God? Does God want us to believe more? Yes, He does. You know, just a little thing right here. God's timing isn't our own timing. In your time. And I know, you know, in Hebrews 11, he says, these guys didn't receive what they were waiting for. I think too many times we come into the church and we have this rose-tinted glass. Everything is going to happen well. I'm going to get married. This is going to happen. God is still God. You've got to hold on to God. But God has said he will promise you, but you've got to hold on because the blessings are incredible. He's giving you everything you need for life and godliness. Everything is there. And yet, one area sometimes we can have, and I can have sometimes, is a slightly critical spirit when things are not going well. A slightly critical spirit. Oh, come on. Do you understand? It's in their heart. Oh, Jesus, look at him. 3 days, 2 days now. Yeah, he didn't come. Yeah, he comes to our house because Jesus used to go to Bethany for Arana. You know, he'd go there to rest and rehabilitation. That was 2 miles out of Jerusalem. He's going there, but they started to question him in his heart. Jesus, what were you doing sitting around for 2 days? And our brother is dying. How dare you? You come to us, you eat. There's Mary, Luke chapter 10. She's cooking, and they're kind of just, Martha is cooking. Mary said, man, and all of a sudden, our brother, have you forgotten that I'm Jesus? Well, maybe Jesus waited to take a nap. Not really. Those areas in our hearts that have that slightly respectful criticism of how God does things. Where are you today? God does things, and he does it his own way. You know, when you've been in the church for many years, you get to a stage where you go and say, hey, not my will, but God just... Well, after you've been through the school of hard knocks, then you learn, you get wisdom, and sometimes the wisdom comes late. But I've got to tell you, you've got to say, okay, I'm going to mess with that one. God, I've seen it all. Where you are right now? Getting better? Getting bitter? Where are you? You know, one of the things that I'm grateful for is the miracles that God is doing in our lives, the limits. You know, we studied with Zubair and Rafael. Zubair was met last year in November. Guy from a Muslim background. And I've got to tell you, it took us 9 months to convert him. Six months into him studying, we went through the whole book of John with him. Then he said, three sisters, faithful sisters. Then he brought his sister along, Rafael. She shared yesterday at the women's tea that they had in Southeast. I listened to our testimony. But it was amazing, amazing to see Zubair bring his sister along, finish the book of John, and became a disciple. The dad was a top guy in the Iraqi government with the oil house got burned down. But he says, you know what, folks? If I sign up for this, that means my life. I'm not just signing up to be comfortable. That means my life. That means I can't go back to Iraq. These are guys from share backgrounds. But you know, yesterday, Rafael, they got baptized June 12. Rafael gets up there and she shares. She says, my brother brought me to church. I remember having my last Ramadan and questioning the Bible. She grew up with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. She lost some of the organs of her body. And she shared yesterday. And when she shared, I was just moved to tears. She said, you know what? I've seen what God has done. Her mother was there. Her sister was there. Family has invited her over to dinner. I said, you know, I don't believe in the Islam faith. I can't sit in Iraq because I'll get killed. But you see the faith. I know for us, we were kind of thinking, oh, this study is taking long. But I've got to tell you, it built on my faith. Rafa became a disciple the same day. And she said, you know what? One day, because of what God has done, because of the cross, I want to work full-time for the church. That was her testimony. Her brother now is studying the Bible. Become a Christian, probably. He's now on John. We take probably around John 10, John 12. Around there. But you're taking them there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? So old age, that's okay. Be gracious with me. Around John 10, John 12, that's okay. But you know one thing, though? It increased our faith. Because God is bigger than those faiths. And we've got to love them into the kingdom. How is your... Because sometimes we can look at them and say, they're not open. Everybody is open. Everybody is seeking. You know, point number two, Jesus wept. Quickly. You know, brothers, one point, sisters, one point I just want to make here is, how are we doing with our emotional capacity to love people? How are we doing with our emotional capacity? You know, one of the prayers we pray every day is, God, increase my capacity to love. I didn't grow up in a loving family. My dad never told me that he loved me. It was men in the church. My dad never told me was that he loved me. That's okay. But you know, it's men in the church that taught me how to love. The dog offers, who pulled me aside and said, bro, don't worry about that. Do whatever it is. I know Jesus right here, because of that relationship, you know, there's a Greek word here, the physical effect, shuddered, inarticulate sounds. He was feeling it, which escape when one is overwhelmed by a great wave of emotion. Brothers and sisters, people are out there harassed and helpless. They're not okay. But where's our hearts as we reach out to them? Every day I wake up and I think, well, the guy in the suit, the lady behind the counter, they are harassed and helpless. They might look okay on the outside, but can we feel again, brothers and sisters, that it doesn't become duty? Do you understand? I remember the day when I cried, the day my dad died. I didn't know what to do. My sister, you understand, she just said on the phone, and my sister, you know, we're kind of similar, but, you know, emotions in there, and sometimes as men, we hide those emotions on the inside. And my sister just picked up the phone. My sister is very, you know, some of you look at me, and I've changed over the years, but my sister is a lot more blunter than me. She's blunt, 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 blunt. Do you understand what I'm saying? That even for me, she makes me cry. Do you understand what I'm saying? Picked up the phone. Dad died. That was just the message. Dad is dead. I kind of thinking, can you explain a little bit to me right now? That's okay. We'll call you back so we can do funeral arrangement. I'm kind of thinking. We got to feel. We have got to feel. It's not a duty. It's not a job. It's love in our hearts. Point number three, quickly. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus, come out. You know, one of the great things that I love about the situation right here is the whole idea of listening to the voice of Jesus. That's where we've got to be in the Bible, because faith comes from hearing the word. If we are not in the word and hearing the voice of Jesus, you know one thing? We are at a disadvantage. We've got to keep on hearing his word. Whether you're old, whether you've got to keep on hearing those words of faith that no situation is dead. It is just asleep. You know, you might imagine their wonder and amazement when Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Can you imagine the three words? Lazarus, come out. You know, the heart stops medically. There's a death chill. The temperature falls. Blood pools. The body stiffens. It decomposes. The pancreas eats up itself. Okay? You know, we have some doctors here. Jill is listening to this. You know, they call it rigor mortis and rigor mortis, but I didn't want to get into a medical air. We wanted to keep it very simple for the audience. You understand? Amen. That's kind of a Latin or Spanish word. Keep it simple for the audience right here. So, then the pancreas digests itself. Body gets discolored, turning green, purple, awful smelling gas. The body bloats. The eye bulges. And yet Jesus goes to the tomb, and with one word, 4 days in the tomb, he calls out with one voice, and Lazarus comes out. Tonight is three. Comes out in his grave clothes. What the ultimate miracle of all times. Brothers and sisters, there is finality in death. Just like Mary and Martha, there are situations that are not dead, but are asleep. And that we have a great faith in this great God that can impact or influence. And sometimes when there is Jesus, there is hope. But what are some of those situations today as I close out? You know, for some of us here today, as such, we have no hope for those situations to change. And sometimes we focus on what could have been or what was the reason why this happened. And so I ask you this morning as I close out, what are your ifs? What are your ifs? What are they? Oh, if only this was in place, or if my upbringing was a bit different. I've got to tell you, brothers and sisters, we've got to be a powerful church. Sometimes, you know, the Bible calls us not to be victims, but to be victorious. You got to understand. We were objects of wrath in Ephesians chapter 2. But he's raised us up in the heavenly realms to be seated on the right side of Jesus. Wow. I'm kind of thinking, man, okay. Woo, man. Right side of Jesus. Oh, man. Pretty awesome. Read those scriptures. Give me. See, every day I pray for my confidence in God. The world will beat you down. Do you understand? The jobs we do, you pray. But every day I said, God, if there's one thing that I'm going to fight for, is my confidence in God. I never, ever want it to waver. So I pick up a psalm. I pray through a psalm. I just say, God, I'm an insecure man. You know, you get input in the fellowship. We say, bro, you don't say that right. You're going to apologize for this. I'm going to say, just as I am, without one plea. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amen. But that's okay. But my confidence is there. I want to protect that in God. When we focus on what could have been, it's a sure sign of faithlessness and of such hopelessness. It is so easy to waste our emotional energy on the negative and no emotional energy on what God can do. We waste a lot of emotional energy. Oh, man, this can happen, that can happen, this can happen. I got to tell you, if there's anything that fires me up right now, you know, in the East, I heard about the results of the teenagers going to university. I say kudos to you. You know, I say kudos to you. Kudos. I say well done. You're the new. I pray for all the teens in the church because you are going to be carrying the banner. Whether you're in East, Southwest, East, or Heaven, it doesn't really matter. Okay? It doesn't really matter. I pray because you are the new generation. And the faith that you carry. You know, I met John Schoondale at McFarrell's party. And in the tunnel, I said, what are you going to be doing? And also one of the Collier's kids. I always mix them up. Ian Collier, Kevin Cook, always mix them up. Are you three? So, hey man, let me just leave that. Let me focus on George. You know, Serge? Let me focus on George. Okay. You guys don't confuse me. Do you understand? Now, so George and I are chatting, and George says, I am going to, is it King's College or UCL? UCL. I thought I was just testing you. Do you understand? He says, he goes out there. You know what he says? He says, I'm going to be studying physics at UCL. And I looked, there's something about physics. And I kind of, oh, you did physics. We got to pray for our boys and our girls. As they go to university, that we speak, parents, you speak words of life into them. Not that they've just gone into university, you speak words of life every day. We do that for our kids. It's not just, no, they're baptized, no, words of life. You pray promises on them. You show them the promises of God. Because we want a generation that's going to carry the torch. Not enough to just say they've been baptized. What is that? They've got to love God till the day they die. Bigger than baptism. Baptism is just a halfway point. I move on. What's the word in English? I digress. So, amen. Let's just finish out the message here. Okay. You know, brothers and sisters, no matter how final your situation might look, Jesus has the potential to bring resurrection into that situation. It depends on your focus. All areas you worry about, eat, drink, wear, bodies, how I look. You understand? What we look like. I was sharing with Ben. I got rebuked by my GP because my sugar levels were not where they need to be. He rebuked me. It was like a discipline time. I walked away from there and says, no more sugar. And he says, come back in a month. Do you think I'm going to be tasting sugar? No, I don't want to face up to him again. You know what I'm saying? I've got to change. But you know one thing, look, what is it? The future of your marriage hurts in relationships. How your kids will eventually turn out, they are not hopeless situations. Your jobs, your money, what people think of us. Worry about what people expect of us. It doesn't really matter. Areas of trust, brothers and sisters. Character changes needed in our lives and in those around us. Can I change? Yes, you can change. Maybe you worry more. Can my wife change? Rather than you focus on your wife changing, you change, okay? Can my husband change? Don't worry about your husband. Worry about yourself. You know what I'm saying? My friend's changing. You know, God, there is no hopeless situation. God can change everything. Can God really help me overcome, you know, loss in our lives, anger, meanness, grumpiness, my selfishness? Yes, he can. A challenging relationship that seems not to have any hope. Maybe your dreams of being useful in God's kingdom, and you feel your dreams are dashed, and you can no longer have much impact, or it could be that someone you are trying to help becomes a disciple, has pulled away. Are you focusing on what could have been different, or if someone else was involved? Jesus is still alive and can resurrect any situation. How do you start? And I close out with some practicals here. Focusing your emotional energy and faith in God from maybe focusing on how hopeless the situation might be. We've got all hopeless situations, you know. I know for the sake of time, my sister, many of you know my sister, my younger sister was a baptized disciple in the church. 2-3 weeks ago, she was in a coma. She had a diabetic coma. She changed her name, distanced herself away from the family. It was a hopeless situation. She was on wires. The doctor said, we don't know whether she's going to make it. Let me tell you, family members, we got her needs. We prayed. She's now fine, out of hospital. She was there for like she was on the in ICU for probably three weeks. I begged God. And I said, God, this is not a hopeless situation. Please help us. All my stuff, but you see, what are the hopeless situations in your life? What is it? You know, God is the God that spoke this world into existence. He sustains the universe by his power. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. Brothers and sisters, look for specific scriptures or promises in the word of God that applies to that situation and start thinking about the scripture in relation to your circumstances every day. Every day. Pray daily for God to change the situation and change you in the situation, because who we are becoming is more important to God than our circumstance. What are you becoming in God? What are you becoming? Is it your circumstances? Man, guys, we're on a long journey. Begin to take steps of faith, whether it is to forgive or to show kindness in a bad relationship. Many of us take communion every Sunday. Can I just be honest here? Relationships, till the day we die, we're always going to be sorry in our relationships. But there's got to be humility in our hearts and the courage to say, let me sit down and do what I need to do. Jesus can raise the dead. He can resurrect any hopeless situation. Are you going to allow Jesus' voice to shout louder than your sins? Or are your sins and traditions going to shout louder than the voice of Jesus? You want to become a Christian, his voice must be louder than your preconceived ideas. Must be louder than your selfishness. His words must be audible. Heed his voice. Our God is an awesome God. He raised Lazarus stinking in the grave, grave clothes, you know, some say body decaying. With one voice, he came out. Your situation is so hopeless. I hope these words encourage you. God bless you all. Amen.
There's only one talk, so I cannot even attempt to summarize the lesson today. He said it all. Let's thank him again for coming to the East. And I'm sure we'll invite him back. Amen. Let's all stand for a final song. And remember, this Friday, there'll be no meeting for the men. The women will have their women's retreat. And that will be all as announced. Let's all stand. There is much to do. Can I have some volume on the guitar, please?
There is much to do, there's work on every hand.